Good morning. So Mother's Day. And that's why I picked 1 Samuel chapter 1 today, kind of going off of where we're at in our sermons, in our text. And I picked this text because it's a really great text for Mother's Day. Amen? And that's why we're in 1 Samuel today. So, I just want to say, you know, happy Mother's Day to the hardest working and most beautiful people on the planet. Amen? And I know this from experience. Amen? May God bless you and strengthen you, continue to strengthen you. And my grandkids are here today. Amen? All right? Amen. It's great to see you guys all here. Did you know that the idea for Mother's Day was born in a small church in Grafton, West Virginia? Amen? And it's not as old as you may think. It was in 1876, and the nation was still mourning from the Civil War and the people that had died in the Civil War. And while teaching a Memorial Day lesson, there was a lady named Anna Reeves Jarvis. And she was thinking of the mothers who had lost their sons in the war. She was thinking of the mothers that lost their sons in the war. And she prayed that one day there would be a Memorial Day for the mothers as well, you know. And so this prayer made a deep impression on one of her 11 children that she had. Amen? She had 11 kids. And young Anna, one of her daughters, had seen her mother's efforts to hold the war-split community and to hold the church together during these tough times. And as she grew into adulthood, the younger woman kept her mom's dream in her heart. As she got older, she kept that dream in her heart. And on the day of her mother's death, she was determined to establish Mother's Day in honor of her mother. And on May 12, 1907, a local observance was held, which later spread to Philadelphia. And by 1910, Mother's Day was celebrated in 45 states, continental states. It was celebrated in Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Canada, and Mexico. And the elated Miss Jarvis told a friend, she said, "Where it will end must be left for the future to tell. That it will circle the globe now seems certain." And circle the globe it did, amen? And that's the origination of Mother's Day, amen? So on May 8th, 1914, President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day for displaying the American flag and for the public expression of love and reverence for all the mothers of the country. Now, we all know that God is love, right? We all know God is love. And we also know as Christians that the greatest expression of love is God's love for each and every one of us. Right? That's the greatest expression of love. And but one of the greatest expressions of love outside of God's love is a mother's unconditional love for her children. That can be an amazing love, right? Amen? And this kind of love can even be hard for men to understand sometimes. Amen? Especially when it comes to disciplining their children. But, you know, the women, nevertheless, have this gift from God, amen? This gift from God, that this unconditional love that they have for their children. And it's just amazing. Now, remember, no matter how hard it can get to raise children, it is a blessing to be a parent. It's a blessing to be a parent, a blessing that some people never get to experience. Amen? There was a mom pushing her cart through Walmart, and her little girl was in the cart screaming the whole time. And the mother kept saying, you know, the mother was saying out loud, "Calm down, Caitlin," right? "Calm down, Caitlin. And it'll be all right, Caitlin. And it's almost time to go home, Caitlin." And so one of the Walmart store clerks said to the woman, she said, "Ma'am, you are to be commended for your patience that you have with your little girl, Caitlin." And the mom looked back at the clerk and said, "Lady, I'm Caitlin." Right? So calm down, Caitlin, right? Amen, right? I can just see that happening in Walmart too, right? But the point is that it can be tough being a parent. It can be tough being a parent, especially a mother. But today we commend you and we thank you for your faithfulness to God and your faithfulness to your families. So Mother's Day sermon. So today's Mother's Day sermon is meant to honor you, and it's also meant to honor God, of course. Amen? Amen. So in today's text from 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look back at certain things in this chapter. And the first thing in this book is to know about this book is that it's about three great men. Amen? It's about Samuel. It's about Saul, the first king of Israel. And it's also about King David. So this is a book about three great men. And eventually, it's also a book, but being that it's a book about three great men, it's also a book about one great woman. Amen? And that's how the book starts. It starts as a woman who gives birth to Samuel the prophet. And that's what we're going to preach about today. Amen? So, you got a picture of her yet? There she is, the mother of Samuel, Hannah. Amen? Somebody once said that when God wants to do a great work, he gets a hold of a man. But when he wants to do it, get it exceptionally done, he gets a woman. It wasn't me that said it. Somebody once said it, though. Just kidding. So, there are many examples of this in Scripture. Amen? Many examples of this. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who had the faith to put Moses in a basket down the river, right? We have, in the line of King David, the line of King David began with a woman named Ruth. And this lineage would eventually give birth to Jesus down the line. Amen? So that was another woman. The preservation of the Jews in Persia thanks to Esther's dangerous request of the king. Right? That was amazing. More faith, much faith. A barren woman named Elizabeth who would give birth to John the Baptist who would prepare the way for the Lord. And lastly, our salvation in the Gospels begins with a young Jewish woman named Mary who would give birth to our Lord and Savior. Amen? So, great women in the book. So, let's talk about three traits of great mothers, okay? In our first verses, it says, there was a certain man, and good job reading those names there, Marcella. Oh, it was kind of tough. I'm going to try it now. Okay, here we go. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. Ah, pretty good, huh? I had a lot of practice. He had two wives, one called Hannah and the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. So there's a lot of emotion in this verse, amen, with Hannah. There's a lot of emotion in this verse. Hannah had no children. And it was the hope of every Jewish couple to have children. In their culture, it was considered a blessing from the Lord to have kids. And because of their lineage, you know, their name would live on. So it was considered a blessing. And everybody wanted kids, and everybody wanted sons as well. Amen? So the more kids you had, the better. So Hannah was distraught because she had no kids. Psalms 127, 3-5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. If you have many kids, you are blessed. Amen? In those days, childlessness was seen as a curse from God. They even looked at it as a curse. So it was really bad if they couldn't have any kids. So remember how important it was for Jacob's wives, right? Leah and Rachel. Remember that? In Genesis, it was important for them to have kids. So this perception of childlessness being a curse had been present for thousands of years, even before this. Amen? It had been present for thousands of years. And also in those days, if a woman could not bear a child, it was grounds for divorce. And I talked about this in our Bible study yesterday. It was grounds for a divorce if they couldn't give the husband a child, right? So, and also, in a 10-year period, if a wife could not produce a child, in some cultures, the husband could marry a second wife. And that is why Elkanah had two wives in this text, okay? He had married a second wife so he could have children. And his wife, Hannah, was unable to bear children. So his second wife, Peninnah, would bear many children, amen? And later on, Hannah would as well. So year after year, verse 3 says, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty in Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and all of her sons and daughters. Now imagine being Hannah, right, in this setting. She's there with the family. She's unable to have a single child. And then you have the other wife who has all these sons and daughters, right? So it was very hard for her to spend time with the family at these gatherings because everybody looked down on that. And so it was hard for her. But for Hannah, it was a time, you know, it was a time where she really felt rejected. The picture, there's Hannah there, and there's her rival back there, right? That's Peninnah. So whenever Hannah would go up to the house of the Lord, her rival would provoke her until she would started crying and she wouldn't eat. And this would go on again and again and again. And so now her rival, Peninnah, was blessed with many children, and she would go out of her way to provoke her. So how would she even have the time, right, with all these kids running around, right? She's over here provoking her and messing with her all the time. And this was very sad for Hannah. So that brings us to a common problem today, amen? And that's infertility. Infertility is a common problem today as well. And it's estimated that one out of every eight couples cannot have children. One out of every eight couples. And that's more than 12% of America that is infertile. And for these women, every Mother's Day is usually not a happy day for them. Amen? And a lot of people are really desperate to have kids and they cannot have them. So most of these women, they really want children, they just can't conceive them. So we don't know why God allows some to have children, why others can't, or why there's so many unwanted pregnancies. Amen? We really don't know. But we do know that our value to God is not based on our ability to reproduce. Our value to God is based on the fact that we're all made in His image. Amen? That's why we're so valuable to God. And that's what He loves us for. And there have been many great women in the Bible who were infertile, right? Many great women. And God loved them and He used them all. He used them. We have Sarah, great name by the way, without an H, Sarah without an H, Abraham's wife, she was infertile, amen. We have Rebecca, Isaac's wife, she was infertile. We have Rachel, Jacob's other wife, who was infertile, right? And then we have Ruth, the wife of Boaz, who was infertile until she got with Boaz, right? And then the Lord shaped a womb for her, amen? And she would later have children. And then we have Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. She was infertile as well. So God did miracles then. He's still doing miracles today, amen? And now notice that in the Scriptures, some of the most infertile women were some of the most righteous women as well, these women here. And while many of those who could easily conceive were not righteous, right? There's many women who could easily conceive that were not righteous. So it doesn't mean if you have children, you're godly, or if you don't have children, you're cursed, right? This proves that theory wrong. It may just be that you're not, it's not yet your time. If you're not able to have children, maybe it's just not your time yet. God may be preparing you for parenthood. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe you're not ready physically, mentally, monetarily. Maybe you're just not ready to have children. And just because a doctor says you cannot bear children doesn't mean that you won't miraculously conceive children sometime. Amen? Second, he may need you to be adoptive parents, maybe, right? We need adoptive parents, and we need foster parents. There are many more kids looking for parents than parents looking for kids, believe it or not. Thirdly, God may have plans for you to complete something or do something prior to having children, like maybe going to school or whatever that may be, whatever that plan may be. And something that you would be unable to do if you had children. Amen? So there's many reasons that God may have for making us wait. Amen? The second trait, great mothers say great prayers. Great mothers say great prayers. Hence my sermon title today, A Mother's Prayers. Amen? So let's look at Hannah's priorities in the next verses and see how she is right in step with their husbands and God's priorities. Verse 9 says that once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That no razor being used on his head, never cutting a hair, that's a Nazirite vow that we talked about yesterday, right, Pastor? And a couple other of the Nazirite vows is abstaining from drinking alcohol, and another one is that I couldn't remember yesterday, not touching corpses, that's another Nazirite vow, amen. So this was a Nazirite vow that he was making, that she was making. And then it says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." And Hannah would say, "Not so, my lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." So this woman was pouring out everything before God. Amen? So much so that she couldn't even speak, right? She's just pouring out everything and her lips are moving but nothing's coming out. But there's no record in the text that says she complained to her husband by saying, you know, it's your fault, or making excuses, right? And there's nothing saying that she wanted to fight back with Peninnah either, right? She just kept taking it. She was in anguish, and she wouldn't start any trouble. So she would just take all of her sorrows and she would pour them out to the Lord. Amen. That's what she would do. She wouldn't try starting a fight with Peninnah or complain to her husband. She would just go to the Lord in prayer and pour out her heart. And then in verse 11, she says, Lord Almighty. She knows that the Lord is sovereign. That's why she says, Lord Almighty. She knows the Lord is sovereign, and she knows that he can grant her request and answer her prayers if she so chooses. That's the mother's faith, right? Notice also in verse 12, where it says that she kept on praying, right? She kept on praying. This was not a quick one-time prayer. She was repeating this request over and over again. She was praying over and over again. This was the kind of praying without ceasing that's spoken of in 1 Thessalonians, right? Praying without ceasing. We just continue to pray. And that prayer, what's that prayer? It's a constant communication with the Lord. Amen? That's what prayer is. It's a constant communication with the Lord. It's all about relationship. It's all about a relationship. And Prayer works. Some researchers at Columbia University conducted a study with 199 couples at an in vitro fertilization clinic in Korea. And unknown to the patients and their doctors, groups of strangers from the U.S., Canada, and Australia were asked to pray for their success in getting pregnant. So pictures of patients in a test group were sent to the people praying, and when the woman began hormone treatment, prayer continued for the next 3 weeks, and no one knew which group was which until the 3 weeks were up. The patients in the study were all undergoing in vitro fertilization as assisted reproduction technique in which the husband's sperm and the wife's eggs are combined and then transferred to a uterus to be developed naturally. Amen? And according to the latest statistics from American Society of Reproductive Medicine, the success rate is 22.8% when they try to do this. And but to the surprise of the researchers, the women who were prayed for ended up with a significantly higher pregnancy rate. It was about 50%, over double of the ones that weren't being prayed for. And it was about 26% for the non-prayer group. So the lead author of the report, Dr. Robert A. Lobo, Columbia's chairman of gynecology, said on Good Morning America, he said that that it was the prayers, amen? It was the prayers for these women that helped them to get pregnant. And that's just, I thought that was kind of amazing, you know, that the prayers work, right? Prayer worked then, and prayer works today. And we need to be constant in prayer. Remember, prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is talking to God, and meditating is listening for God's word in our lives and in our decisions that we make. Hannah would pray without ceasing and without speaking. And according to Eli, she would even appear to be drunk in the midst of her prayers. But she would answer Eli, her priest, in verses 15 and 16. She would say, "Not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman." David Guzik writes about this. He said, "Hannah did not accept Eli's accusation, but she did not respond in a haughty or arrogant tone. She would explain herself, but she did it remembering that Eli was her high priest," right? She didn't get all crazy. This was her priest. "And concerning her pouring out her soul to the Lord," this is exactly what Hannah needed to do. And it's exactly what we all need to do. Amen? Instead of keeping the bitterness of soul and anguish in her heart, she poured it out. She poured out her soul before the Lord. And isn't this what we're all called to do? To pour out our soul to the Lord. Amen? Each and every day. Philippians 4:6 says that, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for everything He's done for you." Hannah was pouring out her soul to God, and her prayers would be answered. She would become the mother of a prophet. And what a great praying mother Samuel the prophet would have, right? He would have a great praying mother, amen? And praying mothers make a bigger difference in the world than most people realize. They make a big difference in the world. They make a bigger difference than these politicians and leaders. Amen? We know, some of us really know, right? Some of us really know. And I know from personal experience myself, my mother was always praying for me when I was out there running the streets and getting in trouble. My mom was always praying for me. I know she was. And, you know, she never ceased to pray for me. And her prayers were not answered right away, okay? But she never ceased to pray. As a matter of fact, God took 20 years or more to answer some of her prayers that she prayed every night. But all in God's time. Always pray without ceasing, for you never know when God will and how God will answer our prayers. Thanks be to God to all the moms who pray for their children every day. Thank you, Mom. Abraham Lincoln once said that no one who has a godly mother is poor. He said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. We should all be praying for godly mothers. Verse 17 says, Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Now this is a blessing. He's given her a blessing, right? This is a benediction. Eli's not saying, I know you will have children. He's saying, I hope that you do. And I hope God blesses you with a child. Then he says, go in peace. The priest suddenly recognized, right, that it was her heartfelt prayer. He no longer thought she was drunk. So he kind of recanted in his own way and blessed her as she left. The third trait of great mothers is great mothers have great faith. Great mothers have great faith. In verse 18, it says that her face was no longer downcast. David Guzik wrote of this, he said, the change in Hannah's countenance shows that she received the promise with faith. Hannah shows how we can regain the joy of fellowship in the house of the Lord again by pouring out our heart before the Lord and by receiving His word with faith. And isn't that why we gather here every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Tuesday? To worship God so that our faces are no longer downcast, right? Sometimes we'll come in here with our faces downcast and we walk out smiling, right? And on fire for the Lord, right? That Holy Spirit just hits us, amen? And, we pray to the Lord. We come to the altar and we lay it all at the cross and we give it all to God. That's why we come here, amen? That's why we gather. So that we can receive His word with faith and show our praises to God. Amen? Show our praises. There's coming a day, someone once wrote, there's coming a day when witnessing will cease. In fact, praying will cease. But worship will never cease. Worship is the one thing that we're going to take with us to heaven. Amen? And that's what we're going to do for eternity, is worship God. Amen? So we won't need prayer anymore. We're going to be in the presence of God. Amen? So we will just worship. And so we might as well get really good at it now, right? We might as well perfect it now because we're going to be doing it for a long time. Amen? Amen. Our last verses say that early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then went back to their home at Ramah. Now remember in verse 5, when Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion, right? He gave her a double portion because he loved her very much. So when they arrived at their home in Ramah, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. God has heard. The name Samuel means God has heard. And she said that she named him that because she asked the Lord for him and he heard her prayers. That's where the name Samuel comes from. The idea here is that when we go to God in prayer, we should embrace it like Hannah did. When we go to God in prayer, we should embrace it because God will hear our prayers too. God will hear our prayers too. Psalms 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. So if God sees that it is good for you and it's in His will, then He'll give it to you. Amen? If He sees that it's good for you and it's in God's will, He will give it to you. Of course, he'll give it to you in his time, right? Not in our time, but in his time. So be patient and be faithful. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" It says all things. Amen? In this verse, it says that if God gave us Jesus, that he won't hold anything back. If God gave us Jesus, he would not hold anything back. Whether that's a husband, a wife, a child, or even a wonderful praying mother, he will not hold it back. He will not hold it back from anyone whose walk is blameless, meaning those of us who worship God and those of us who live our lives for Christ. Amen? He will not hold anything back from us. So mothers, be encouraged today, because anything you are praying for concerning your family, your children, your marriage, or even your own spiritual walk is possible. Anything is possible. If God has given us his Son, how should he not graciously also give you everything else? He may not give it today, but in his time. So rest, mothers, rest and trust in your motherhood, because we never know who we may give birth to. Amen? We never know who you may give birth to. Billy Graham had a mother, right? Billy Graham had a mother. Charles Spurgeon had a mother. There they are. Some of my favorite guys there. Martin Luther had a mother. The prophet Samuel had a mother. And of course, our Lord and Savior had a mother as well. You never know who your child may grow up to be and how they may impact the world, especially for Christ. You could also be known as a mother who changed the nation. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for our mothers, for these wonderful women whom you've placed in this world to raise us, to love us, to protect us, and to pray for us. They are one of the greatest blessings that you have bestowed upon us, even when we didn't deserve it. May you grant them all peace and answers to their heartfelt prayers that sustain this world in so many ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Happy Mother's Day, everyone, and God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. Amen? Thank you.
Good morning again. Today my thoughts were Jehovah Jireh. He provides. So many good things have happened that we have been praying for here as a church. And I've been able to share that and witness that to people who are not our members. A friend of mine, she goes to CR, and I was telling her how her name was on our prayer list that Donna sends out, and she almost started crying. She was just so happy to know that we are all praying for her. So thank you, everyone, so much for your prayers. They've helped me so much. They've helped House of Grace, and we really appreciate it. So, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Also educate all education stakeholders on the corrupted. Hear our prayers. Teachers and the vital importance of
removing them from our schools. Lord, we lift up all the single mothers out there who are struggling to make ends meet. Father, may you strengthen them, may you provide for them, and may you protect them. Lord, in your mercy.